Welcome to the CEN show, the voice of the world community. On Monday, November 21st, 2 days prior, Professor Amin-Ra and historian Joe Hembrick had an excellent show on the podcast Conscious Corner. The topic was African Americans and technology. It was very informative, and I encourage everyone to view it on YouTube or listen to it on the website communityeducationnetwork.com, and let me show those platforms for people to go see it. Got Brother Mashinda was trying to get in. Let me see. Let me share the screen. Here he is. Brother Mashinda's coming in. Okay, here's the YouTube channel, Community Education Network. We have 169 subscribers, and we have 196 or 7 videos. And here is the video from Monday. Here it is right here. This is where you can see it on YouTube. And then let's go to the website. If you go to the website, this is the home page. And let me show everybody how they can access the shows. You can just click right here, join Zoom meeting. And this is the show we're on right now. So here's the podcast section. And here it is right here. And this is audio. So check it out, anybody that's interested. I am your host, Rasky Maskani, and I'd like to introduce the panel. We have Professor Amin-Ra, and we have Brother Mashinda. And I'm about to introduce the guest. The guest is Kwabena Sakidi Jujaga Rasuli, and the topic is 5 requirements to end current NBA sanctioned hate. Brother Kwabena is back for the third time, and like the first two times, his content is great, and his stance on issues that negatively affect Black people is pure bravery. Brother Kwabena, welcome back. Glad you're here. How are you? Tell us some things about yourself, and please begin your presentation.
My brother, I'm doing good, man. Good to be, you know, with you all again. And I just appreciate the work that you all put in twice a week with these enlightening forums and interviews that you share with the people. That's so, so important, especially at a time such as this, you know, with this change in technology, so much information that's getting out here. A lot of it most of it is propaganda, but a lot of it is propaganda that's affecting us in some negative ways, but a lot of good things out here too. And again, I'm pleased to be with you all in this network from my hometown, from the place where I was born, LA area. And so now I'm in the Chicago area. Actually, I'm in Gary, Indiana, home of Richard Hatcher, first mayor elected to the a major city in the U.S., him along with Carl Stokes out of Cleveland in 67. And also home of, you know, the world's greatest entertainment family, the Jacksons, Michael and the Jackson, world's greatest entertainer and entertainment family. So I went to school in Louisiana after I finished at Dominguez High School in L.A. Way back in the day, and went to school in Louisiana, then been up here now for over 30 years in Gary, Indiana. And It's interesting. This place is really struggling. Since we last talked, we finally got a street named in honor of Brother Malcolm, Malcolm X Drive here in Gary. We struggled for 22 years to get a street named in honor of our brother in a city that's 85 to 90% African. It took us 22 years to get that, to make that happen. So last month we had Malcolm's daughter Ilyasa here. We had a wonderful program. And now, one of the two streets that run north and south pretty much all through the city of Gary is Malcolm X Drive. So, you know, we're proud of that. The people are seeing it and loving it. So the people overwhelmingly supported it. But that's where we are. So much self-hate, though. That's why it took so long. And again, that's why it's so important that we did it, because it took so long to do it. That lets you know how much it was needed. So that's a little bit about me. Just working with a couple of organizations, United African Movement. I work with the Black Lives Matter Gary chapter here in Northwest Indiana, Gary. Also with the National Black Leadership Alliance, headquartered pretty much based in New York, but it's all around the country, led by Brother Bob Law. Also work with the Nubian Leadership Circle. And, I was dealing with Kwame Ture back in the day when I was in school, and he always shared with us to be organized, be part of an organization, helping to uplift your people. And I guess it stuck. So, we also understand how important it is to be an organization, because organization, they hold you accountable, and also they help you. They encourage you, and they help you, and they hold you accountable. And so it's really good to be a part of different organizations. We need more people to be part of organized group. Individual, the old thing, one finger, hit somebody with just one finger, the sucker's gone, may break unless you Bruce Lee or something. Put them all together, do some damage, Bruce Lee or not. So,
Can I say something? Can I interject?
yes, brother.
I'm gonna ask you right here now on this recording. Would you like to be a team member of the Community Education Network.com?
Man, yes, indeed, bro. I'd be honored, man.
Okay, good. We
And what does that entail too now?
well,
I get to
basically,
move back to LA during the wintertime?
It's basically what it is. You're one of the people who frequently interact with what we're doing, and just your background just tells it all. And that's the type of people we want to affiliate with, and it's we'll talk later, but it'll be a pleasure to have you a part of the team.
Brother, also on my podcast, on me and Joe Henry's podcast, if ever you want to have a guest that you interview and that we have roundtable discussions with, because we'd like to get that East Coast flavor and that Chicago flavor, and even some of the organizations you with, the history of them, their contributions, their struggle. A lot of things going on in Chicago, and a lot of things going on in Illinois, period. So, Cairo, Illinois, had a big revolution, the Civil War, well, racial fight years ago in Cairo, Illinois, and the people was really throwing down black people and white people. So, you have a history of struggle. Martin Luther King said Chicago was the most dangerous place he ever been, more dangerous than the South when he was demonstrating. So you're welcome. Just let me know. And Rasha Key will send you my number, or you can take it down whenever before the show's over if you don't have it. And you're welcome. Just let me know what Monday. Just make it a couple weeks in advance. And then we'll work it out.
Man, that I'd love to, man. Since you just started talking, I'm thinking about some people already, man. I ran into Brother David Lemieux, who was in the film The Spook Who Sat by the Door.
Yeah.
So I ran into him a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about the 72 Gary Convention. We were talking about the movie, and the 50th anniversary of The Spook Who Sat by the Door is coming up next year. And people like him, and I just got finished talking to Chairman Fred Jr. a few minutes ago. So,
Ray Hampton, Junior.
we definitely got some brothers and sisters that we can plug in, man, that are doing some good work out here, man, and have some good things to share. So right on, bro. Looking forward to being part of the group.
All right.
Excellent.
Yeah, so wanted to talk tonight and about these contradictions that are happening with this with the recent issues with Kyrie Irving and, of course, Ye, formerly known as Kanye West, formerly referred to in the presentations we do with the Clear the Airways Project as Kanye, who don't care about black people, waste. And we decided we're not going to call him waste anymore. We still got that don't care about black people in there just a little bit, but We still we're gonna we're not gonna call him. We're gonna take the waste out, because I think with Kanye, with his narcissism, with the fact that he did not acquiesce to the demands of the Zionists to quickly apologize, that brought up a bunch of contradictions. Contradictions that a lot of us already knew about, but that more people are, I guess, even talking about. And so that, so he's not, he's definitely not a waste, and he never was. I probably should have never called him that. But, you know, it's a struggle with some of these artists and with some of the content that they put out and the damage that they've done to the psyche of the masses of our people. When we think about Dr. Frances Cress Welsing, and it was not too long after she made transition, we were watching a documentary, not a documentary, one of her lectures. And I can't find a lecture again, but it was at the 24-minute mark of this particular lecture where she said rap music has annihilated the self-respect of Black people. She says it has annihilated. And I've been using that quote ever since. And, you know, sometimes I would say commercial rap. But then when I even look at these underground rappers and the majority of them, it's just crazy what the music is doing. And then when I see Kanye at a concert with a bunch of white folks telling them it's okay to sing along and drop the N-bomb, I'm like, dude, what are you doing? When I hear songs where he talks about he's going to damage his sister's esophagus, when I hear him in a song right after the city of Chicago had 780 murders, I think that was in 2016, 780 homicides, the vast majority of them looking like us, 12 people were shot every day. And if 12 people were shot every day in Chicago, 11 of them looked like us. And we're not 90-some percent of the population in Chicago. And then that January, he has a song out called Reach Out My Hands to My Father, which was overall a pretty okay song. But he has to say in there that if Young Metro don't trust you, I'm going to shoot you. He has to put that tagline in it. And it was ironic that in that January, right after we got these numbers of 780 people murdered in Chicago, 12 being shot every day in January. This is that they put this out on December 31st or January 1st in the paper. And we knew all during the year how horrible it was that year. But in January, near the end of the month, on the Ratchet Killer radio station, where they do a top 10, out of their top 10, five of the songs had in them the statement, if Young Metro don't trust you, I'm going to shoot you. One was a song called from a Little Uzi Vert that said, you was right. I met the sister in the club. I ended up taking her home and we got busy. But you was right. You told me I should have did it. I should have hit it, took in the bathroom and did it. But no, I took her home, kind of fell for it. Then I found out she was getting with four other guys. I got mad and I took it out on her sister. I effed her sister and made her vanish. Oh, and by the way, if Young Metro don't trust you, I'm going to shoot you. Another song, Bad, XBITCH. If Young Metro don't trust you, I'm going to shoot you. Another song. It was a song by Big Sean. What was the name of it? A real funky song. Big Sean can rap a little bit. But in that song, he said, if Young Metro don't trust you, I'm going to shoot you. And I mentioned the Kanye song where he liked the tagline. So we just threw it in the song. This is a rapper, DJ that makes music named Metro Boomin, that said, that has feature on the song. It says, if Young Metro don't trust you, I'm going to shoot you. And the final song was a song from the Migos called Bad and Bougie. The Bad and Bougie stayed number one for longer than any song I can think of from Marvin Gaye. Any song we can think of from Michael Jackson that we mentioned earlier, from Prince, from Whitney Houston, from Aretha. It stayed number one in the country longer than any song from any of those artists. And the song was entitled Bad and Bougie from the Migos. I'm cooking up crack in a pot pot. I'm effing on your B, she a thot thot. Oh, I got these 40 calibers. It's just a horrible song to deal with everything that we struggle with this music, from the materialism to the disrespect of women, to the N-bombs being dropped, to the slanging of cocaine and crack, and to the shooting and killing of African people. All of that was in Bad and Bougie. And in Bad and Bougie also, they said, if Young Metro don't trust you, I am going to shoot you. And this is what the European-owned radio station, the No Heart station, we call them No Heart, but they are iHeart, used to be Clear Channel. They have at least 28 radio stations around the country that play slop hop, or they call it hip hop format, hip hop music, telling Africans all around this country that if you don't trust somebody, you should shoot them. This is what they were doing. This was a few years ago, and they haven't stopped. And they were doing it years before that. And we wonder why we see what we get going on today. So Kanye was all up in there. And he's not really what we call a gangster rapper, but whenever it was convenient, he was dropping them in bombs, or always dropping in bombs, and, you know, making music and supporting other artists who tell Africans to shoot and kill each other. So, but Kanye also had a song out called You Can't Tell Me Nothing. You Can't Tell Me Nothing. Just, you know, just really pretty much basically was his narcissism just speaking out. And so when he said these things, you know, he wore the White Lives Matter shirt and, you know, came forth with, he's going to go DEFCON on Jewish people, you know, which is crazy anyway. I mean, I didn't know about the whole DEFCON, what it really meant, but still, I mean, to me, it's like you're going to shoot up a bunch of Jewish people from what it sounded like. But he apologized for that. He apologized for disrespecting the family of George Floyd, saying it wasn't a knee on the neck, it was fentanyl that killed him. He said that. And just stuff that he always does, pretty much, typically does. However, he said some other things about the Jewish community, and he even mentioned one cat that's like a trainer, not just to him, but to a whole bunch of other, I should have his name, I got his name somewhere, but a trainer to a whole bunch of other celebrities. And his trainer, he shared a text message with his trainer threatening him to, if he didn't, you know, tighten up to get back on his meds, or they're going to put him back in like he was in 2016 and put him away for a few months. So pretty much he was threatening him. And this was some Zionist out of Canada. Hopefully I'll get his name before we finish. But Kanye, you know, he held tight. He did not write quickly, say, I'm sorry and apologize. And so this was, it brought a lot of backlash, but it brought a lot of people out to saying what's going on here. The former mayor of Chicago, his name was Rahm Emanuel. Now he's the ambassador to Japan. You know, he used to be the chief of staff, I think, of Barack Obama. I think it was Barack Obama's chief of staff. But, you know, because of Barack Obama's popularity, he was elected mayor of Chicago. Now, his brother, Ari Emanuel, is a big-time Hollywood, you know, big-time in Hollywood. And so you guys probably are aware, but he just told the people, hey, get rid of this guy and stop messing with him. So he lost his Balenciaga. He lost, I think even the Salvation Army, one of them people like that even dropped him. He lost his bank account with Chase Bank. He was chief of staff for Brother Charles said he was chief of staff for President Obama, and then became mayor of Chicago. When I think they got tired of him, and they got tired of his brashness and arrogance in D.C., so he came back. He put that on Chicago. So, his brother Ari Emanuel, and both of them are pretty much Zionists. And so he said, "No, you got to go. All these corporations, get rid of this man. Bragged about billions, and it had to change." So what it did was, and why we stopped calling him waste, because his arrogance, his narcissism, brought out these contradictions as to what was happening in the industry. He didn't acquiesce right away. I had mentioned some of this ratchet killer music that was out, and there was a rapper named 21 Savage. I don't know if you guys have heard of him. He was one who recently said that Nas was irrelevant or whatever. But 21 Savage had a song out in Chicago called Bank Account. He said, "I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 shooters ready to gun you down. Ready to gun you down." That's repeated 18 times in the song. One of the lines, 21 Savage says, "I'm not with that rah-rah. My Glock is cocked. I don't give no F about who I hit. He don't care who he hit." And so that's 21 Savage. 21 Savage had a song later. Let me say, so 21 Savage was invited to a bar mitzvah, like a lot of these ratchet killer rappers are. He was invited to a bar mitzvah to perform and was paid almost $1 million, $700,000, $800,000, $900,000, $1 million, or something like that. The reports are different as to how much he was paid. He performed this song, tried to clean it up, but, you know, he performed this song at the bar mitzvah about killing Africans. So he did another song where he said he was getting Jewish money a little later. And that's what he was referring to, was sure. He was referring to getting that money from that bar mitzvah that he performed at. And on the same song, we talked about getting this Jewish money, he talked about shooting somebody in the stomach, shooting somebody in the torso. So LeBron James happened to be listening to the song one day, and I think he shared it or something. And so he had to right away back down and apologize because he said Jewish money. It didn't say kike or heave. It just said Jewish money. So not only did our tallest, strongest, most popular athlete of the day apologize for this, so did 21 Savage. This brother who talks about he's gonna, don't give no F about who he hit and how many times you're gonna have people gunning you down. He apologized right away. And he that's what he got. He got all that money for performing at a bar mitzvah. So let's look at Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving, only one time in his career has he been disqualified from a game. And y'all remember that when he got kicked out of the game against the Lakers a couple of years ago? You all may remember that. But Kyrie Irving got into it with Dennis Schroeder, Schrader Schroeder, because Dennis Schroeder was dropping N-bombs on Kyrie. And Kyrie said, don't call me that. I'm not, don't stop calling me that. And so he was just adamant about it. I think Schroeder kept dropping him. And so Kyrie, both him and Schroeder, got kicked out of the game. Only time he was ever disqualified from a game he was in. And now he's, I'm gonna just share this what I wrote here. This was something we're trying to put out too. Now I'll go right into the things he needs to do. Because he's back now. But Kyrie Irving is back in uniform and on a professional basketball court. So we're assuming that he complied with six criteria that was laid out by the league and the Brooklyn Nets as a condition for his return. And this stemmed from this October 27th social media post where Kyrie shared a link to the documentary Hebrews to Negroes, which the NBA said was offensive anti-Semitic content, and it was deemed to be dangerous to the Jewish community. So we say, well, the NBA is currently and has for some time now been sanctioning, promoting, and highlighting offensive and dangerous content constantly at their games, including their halftime shows and even during their televised broadcast. This content has been allowed to persist with little or no resistance until now. So we're saying if the NBA is really sincere about not allowing hateful and offensive content to be associated with the league, here are five requirements for the NBA to end their current promotion of hate that is currently allowed, sanctioned, and celebrated by the league. So I'm gonna read through these five, and then I'm gonna talk about, well, let me do this. Let me do the six that Kyrie had to do to get reinstated back into the league. And I'm not talking about Kyrie's press conference and his apology, because he apologized like three times total, at least, if not four, but his apologies that weren't good enough for them. This is what they wanted him to do. They wanted him to issue an apology, number one, for posting a link to the movie on October 27th, which we just said, condemn the harmful and false content, and make clear that he does not have any anti-Jewish beliefs. Number two, complete the anti-hate causes that Irving, the Nets, and the Anti-Defamation League agreed upon in their joint release on November 2nd, including a $500,000 donation towards causes and organizations that work to eradicate hate and intolerance in community. Number three, complete sensitivity training created by the Nets now. Number four, complete anti-Semitic and anti-hate training designed by the Nets. Number five, meet with representatives from the Anti-Defamation League, as well as Jewish community leaders in Brooklyn. Number six, after completing one through five, meet with the owner, Joe Tsai, and lead franchise officials, and demonstrate the lessons learned and the gravity of the harm caused in the situation is that and that the gravity of the harm caused in the situation is understood, and provide assurances that this type of behavior will not be repeated. Those are the six things that the NBA and I guess the Nets said that Kyrie had to do before he could be reinstated after his five-game suspension for this. So, and here are the five things that we have here to show the counter to that. Again, we're saying that the NBA is currently promoting and has been promoting hate and offensive content that is dangerous. So, number one, we say immediately ban all songs and artists from participating in official NBA events who record and perform songs with lyrics that call people ends and call for the shooting and killing of Black people. Number two, apologize immediately for allowing the above practice to persist at NBA games, arenas, events, and broadcasts for well over a decade. Number three, all owners, administrators, coaches, and staff must meet with African Center scholars, the likes of Dr. Horn, Marimba Ani, Dr. Carr, you know, professors like Amon-Ra, et cetera, to undergo sensitivity training, plus attend sessions with the likes of Carl Mack and others who specialize in the history and dangers of calling oneself a N-I-G-G-E-R, and I have in parentheses A. Number four, donate $2.5 million from each team to organizations that promote anti-hate and peace initiatives in communities that are currently struggling with the fratricidal violence that has been ongoing in cities throughout the U.S. Number five, administer technical fouls to any players who drop that N-bomb in games, I put who say N-I-G-G-E-R in parentheses A, in NBA games immediately. Beginning January 1st, 2023, anyone using the word will be hit with a double technical foul and ejected slash disqualified from the contest. The semi-grace period is allowed for deprogramming. And so those are the five pieces there. And I just want to, if I can, say a couple things about these songs and give a couple of examples of what's happening with these songs right now and what they've been doing. So there was a artist called Rich Homie Quan. We call him Poor Homie Quan. But Rich Homie Quan called what was the name of that song? Ooh, 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 something. It was just a crazy song, but it was played all the time. And the chorus in that song, he said, give that hoe some X. She's gonna want to sex every N in the set. So basically what they were saying was drug rape. Give her some ecstasy, and then now she's gonna want to get a train ran on her, basically, by every N in the party. And that was in the chorus. So this dude was on the basketball court, Atlanta Hawks game, started the 18, 17, one of them years, performing this song live, first game of the season, performing this song, ooh, 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 was the name of the song. Ooh, ooh, flex or something. Give that H some X, she gonna want to sex every day. Drug rape her sister, give her some ecstasy, and run a train on her. Every end in a set. That's offensive. That's dangerous. I mentioned 21 Savage earlier. He's on stage, middle of a game, or at the beginning of a game, singing the song we just talked about. Bank account. My Glock is cocked. I don't get no F about who I hit. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 shooters ready to gun you down. Ready to the same song he performed at the bar mitzvah. He's performing at the NBA game. I go to a WNBA game, the Chicago Sky, halftime. The people dancing at halftime, the girls dancing off halftime are dancing off the shoot dance. Shoot, shoot, shoot. They say shoot 46 times in the song. 46 times, shoot, shoot. Shoot him in the back, now he can't feel himself. This is happening at NBA game. All-Star game, All-Star weekend. The featured artist at the official artist for the NBA at the All-Star Weekend is the Migos. The featured song is about cooking up crack. And you heard the Migos song earlier, and where one of the members of the Migos was just murdered in Houston recently. Brother Takeoff, shot and killed. All they rap about is shooting and killing people. I'm gonna run up in your house with the shotty, and by the way, your mama might be at home. And, you know, sometimes we say that they follow, that when these fratricidal, these murders are happening around the community, that we're following the conflict resolution instructions. Sometimes it ain't even a conflict. Sometimes it's not even a conflict. They're just, like I said, he's rapping about disrespecting some women, and all of a sudden, oh, and by the way, I'm going to run up in your house with a shotty, and your mama might be at home. So, and we want the NBA to apologize immediately for allowing this practice, not only to stop, but then apologize for allowing this practice to persist. I'm watching NBA games on ABC and other channels. They're playing this crap. Just the other day, I didn't watch, and you know, I've seen my brothers on here now. You know, I don't think nobody has watched, well, he probably has, but more NBA than I have. And I'm going back to the days of of Archibald and West and Frazier and Monroe and all. I mean, I don't know if anybody in JoJo White, hardly anybody's watched more NBA than I have during all them years. And I didn't even feel like watching it after they suspended Kyrie. Then I have watched it since he got back in the league and back playing. I have watched some games. As a matter of fact, I was watching the piece the other day, and I wanted to see what happened with the squabble. It happened last night with the Lakers, and who were they playing last night? Oh, Lakers and
Phoenix Suns.
The Phoenix Suns. So I wanted to see what happened with that squabble. So they were talking about it. And after that, they show a picture of Drake. Drake's mother is considered a European Jew, a European lady that practiced Judaism, whatever. Drake is Jewish. His daddy is the brother of legendary Grand Central Station star bassist and a Sly and the Family Stone bassist, Larry Graham. That's his uncle. Drake always, constantly, never stops dropping N-bombs, constantly in his music. He seems like he can make a song without dropping N-bombs. Drake had a song out, we call it Look Dead, and he's doing that shoot dance they were doing at the WNBA game I was telling you about. Ian's pull up on my side where he stops, and we're going to send him to the other side. That means they're going to kill him and send him to, you know, the other side is, you know, the afterlife. Pull up on my side, we're going to send him to the other side. Oh, well, F him, dog, we're going to see how hard they ride. And this is what happens a lot of times in these communities where people do exactly what Drake says, shoot up somebody, and that you done shot up somebody, you know they're coming to get you, so you ain't going to be out there, but some little child going to be out there. Or some people don't know what's going on going to be out there. Oh, and we're going to see how hard they ride. We're going to see how hard they ride back on us. And so this was a hit song with Drake and the same dude, Block Boy JB, who made the song Shoot. And Drake in this video is doing the shoot dance. And again, the song is called Look Alive. We call that song Look Dead. Drake made a song that was nominated for Grammys, was nominated for an NAACP Image Award called Life is Good. In this song, Life is Good, Drake is on here with Future. We call him No Future. And Future raps on the song that he's going to put your face on a T-shirt because he's going to murk you. And he's going to pay somebody $20,000 in drug money to shoot up your hearse, shoot up your funeral. And this is a song with Drake, again, and No Future, or Future. And these people are highlighted and looked at NBA game and what happened. And this is dangerous. We say this is obviously and blatantly dangerous. You know, we know that last year it was close to 20,000 homicides in the U.S. And I believe that's a record, most ever, in terms of homicides was last year. And of those homicides, nearly 60% of them were Africans. 60% of them. And we're but what, 13-14% of the population. And when you think about this, you think about how this stuff is promoted and pushed in this music. We just shared some earlier today when we look at the third highlighted mass shooting. There's been way more than that in a week. But the third one, the situation at Virginia, the one that happened in Colorado Springs, or I think that's Colorado Springs, Colorado, near Denver. And what just happened back again in Virginia at the Walmart. And two out of those three mass shootings, black men were the shooter. And so we asked the question, you know, when did this, you know, remember there was a time when we didn't do that? When there was a mass shooting, we weren't the ones doing these mass shootings. And now, you know, now it's happening. And so we're saying that a lot of the reason why is because it's promoted. This gun violence is promoted. And one of the main ways they promote it is in this music. And the NBA is right there promoting and pushing this sort of ignorance. So, you know, I just wanted to share that. I mentioned some of these scholars, you know, this is a juxtaposed to what they want us to do, to go to the criminal ADL. And tell them, and they tell us what to do with this money, and Kyrie has to give them money. That's ridiculous. I wanted to mention too, this coming Saturday with CMOTEP, which is a committee to eliminate media offensive to African people, they're going to do a forum that we're going to be a part of. Dr. James McIntosh, also Professor Smalls, and we're dealing with Kyrie, and Kanye and Ye, and getting them off and getting our people off these whipping blocks, getting them off these blocks. And so that, and part of it, you know, we're going to talk about these five requirements, and again, just deal with the hypocrisy of all this. And so, but there's going to be some good information shared about the ADL and struggles they've had with Dr. Jeffries and so many others in the New York area and all around the country. So that's what's coming up. But yeah, we got these five pieces. You know, they want us to go to them to get sensitivity training. We said, no, we need to come to us. You know, your league is what, 70% African? About 70%, what you say? Maybe more than that. And
Yeah.
so we want to we need some training also. And then that money, 2.5 million from each team, that's, you know, that could be part of the reparations that we need for this damage they've been doing for well over a decade, promoting all this ignorance. And our brothers dropping these N-bombs in these games. I remember seeing this movie called, I think it was Soul in the Hole. And the brother in the movie, the referee told him straight up, I think it was Soul in the Hole.
Yeah, he ran a liquor store.
Oh, then okay, you said, y'all drop an N-bomb, I'm dropping a tech. That's what we told the players that were playing. And you know, I referee basketball too. And so that's what I tell them too. And it's a trip how when they know that, they don't do it. They don't do it. I mean, I remember the last year I was doing like a full, did a full season. I've been kind of not doing it too much since COVID hit. I'm back to it again. But I remember I got to the point where, and I was telling other referees that I ref with, man, you know, I haven't heard like 1 year, I only heard like two N-bombs the whole year. And when I heard one, I, you know, kind of, I did give the brother a little warning. He's, oh, no. So, but we're saying, you know, in the NBA, I've heard Andre Iguodala. We know Kevin Garnett drops them all the time. You know, we hear them all the time. There's a piece called, what's it called? The N-word multi-layered power structure. And it talks about a lot of these record companies and these, and people who run these record companies and labels. And it deals with the use of that word. The N-words multi-layered power structure is the name of it. So if you get a chance to check it out, maybe I'll put it in the chat too. It's a real about a 12-minute documentary put together by my sisters who work with Educate to Empower. So check that out. But we're saying immediately, start hitting them with text. Start hitting them with text right away. And again, give them a month. Give them a month to deprogram. And then after that, disqualify. If they say anything about anybody gay, or call somebody gay or whatever, they'll get like Hibbert got, like Kobe got. They'll get fined. You know, if they do like Myles Leonard and say, and get caught saying, I think Myles Leonard said kike or something. Myles Leonard's out the league. Quarter of the way through already. Almost a quarter of the way through already. But still,
Okay, Brother Kwabena,
yes.
can you go back to the part where you said Myles Leonard? We have some type of disruption. These connections get disrupted, and the recording stops. So, can you go back to that Myles Leonard?
Yeah, so people like Myles Leonard. You know, I think he said kike. He said something. It wasn't during the game, but they caught him saying it on some other piece, which is, of course, a derogatory term for Jewish people. And so he got immediately, you know, suspended and shipped out of Miami. I don't think he ever played for Miami again and went to Oklahoma City. And then now you don't even hear from him. I think he's out the league. And so it's just what's good for the goose is good for the gander. And, you know, for them to just allow this continued hate and to promote it and to push it with these artists who, you know, who drop all this horrific language and call for the shooting and killing of black people. I mean, it has to stop. It has to stop. And I think about, and it's more than just that. It's just so much dehumanization. I think about so many sisters nowadays who all they get is just, you know, horrific images of themselves. I often talk about how all of us get N-bombs dropped on us. Our sisters get even more. They get N-bombs dropped on them. They get called thots, Bs, Hs. They get told that they're not loyal, and you know they get disrespected in so many ways. The only rappers that they get to hear constantly for like years was Nicki Garbage. She was the only one that they consistently played, and they would hear her, they would hear Rihanna and Beyonce, really the only female artists that they would hear constantly. But since the advent of Cardi B Gone, we've got now Doja Cat, Megan Pete, I don't call her a stallion because a stallion is a male horse. So many others are the city girls who just demean and degrade and just give our young sisters of images that are not becoming, you know? So this stuff is dangerous, bro. It's dangerous. And again, the NBA supporting it and want to be hard on Kyrie is hypocritical. And we just call them the question on that. And we just need to get this out and put them in check on this so they can stop.
Okay. Well, excellent, man. Excellent information. And I have a question for you, but I'm going to go to the panel first. I'll go last. So Brother Charles Alexander, can you unmute, please?
Yes, sir.
So we want to, you have the opportunity to ask a question or make some comments.
Good evening, brothers. I don't have any questions. Do just want to let folks know who I am. I was invited, got a link from Brother Kwab and I to join the conversation this evening. I'm here in Chicago. I'm a licensed clinical psychologist in Illinois and Indiana, and I too am in this fight, trying to meet the needs of the people in Chicago, and I'm from St. Louis, so try to be, you know, have boots on the ground in St. Louis as well, and support Brother Kwab and I in the battle that he's fighting, and sure, listening to you brothers, that I'm in support of you know, what this larger mission is and what it is that we're up against, and particularly, as been stated, the you know, the lack of equity and the imbalance and what we're seeing, and that, you know, the tolerance for the hatred that is perpetuated against us versus everybody being all in terms of this thing called anti-Semitism. I will note that several years back, I was doing a internet radio show, and one of the PSAs that would come on featured Russell Simmons and Jay-Z doing a spot on anti-Semitism.
I remember that.
And I just thought that was just so crazy, because at the same time, they were arguing publicly for, you know, saying that the use of, you know, that to ask them not to say nigger was an infringement on their First Amendment rights. So, I mean, this is the nature of the battle, is to kind of deconstruct this ignorance that we see perpetuated and, you know, and the treatment that we get.
Yes, it's deep. Thanks for coming on, brother. I would like to speak with you when we go off air.
Absolutely.
Dr. Charles was with us, man. We did a program called Hip Hop and Mental Health during Mental Health Month several years ago, and gave some great information, man, about, you know, the issues with always being hyped and how that music just keeps you hyped, man. I thought that was real good. Maybe later on.
Everybody's frozen except me, so.